You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm Lucas Ann, and thank you for listening to Locked On Clippers. If you like the Locked On Podcast Network and you're interested in joining our team, this may be your chance. The Locked On Podcast Network is hiring a national sales manager. You can be a part of the fastest-growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, NFL channel, and the entire network to our national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com with your resume. That email address again was lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com. Now enjoy the show. Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han. And today is Thursday, June 22nd, 2017. It is also draft day. So we are here early afternoon, late morning, getting ready for tonight's NBA draft. I will be heading down to Playa Vista to cover the draft at the Clippers practice facility. I would highly recommend making sure you have some time carved out to sit down in front of the TV, have Twitter open, be ready for all the crazy rumors and trades and picks. Is I think it's going to be one of the most chaotic drafts in recent memory, because we've had probably the most chaotic draft week in recent memory. So many rumors about teams in the top five trading their picks. There was already a trade. Philadelphia acquired the first pick from Boston for the third pick and a future pick. The Lakers apparently offered the second pick to Sacramento for picks 5 and 10. And Phoenix has been in a lot of talks with the fourth pick. The Clippers offered DeAndre Jordan for the fourth pick. Apparently, the Suns have been in talks of moving potentially the fourth pick to the Knicks for Kristaps Porzingis. And so there's all five of the top five right there that have been in serious trade talks or have already been moved. And that's before we get to the non-pick trades, because there are big names like Jimmy Butler, Paul George, who could potentially be moved in a draft day deal that isn't centered around a pick, although it would likely include some draft picks. The main piece of the trade is going to be a team packaging some, you know, picks and players to get Paul George or get Jimmy Butler. So I think it's going to be crazy. This is why, with the Clippers not having a pick, I wasn't planning on going down to Playa Vista to cover it. And then with the chaos that we've had in the last week, I decided that I better be down there in case something happens. So right now, we're just going to briefly do kind of a draft preview to get you ready and give you some of my thoughts. I highly recommend you guys check out the Clips Nation blog today. We got a lot of good stuff. We've got Robert Flom's big board. We have trade rumors. I'm going to have like a live pick by pick update and sort of draft diary thing, where as things happen that I think are interesting, I'll type in my opinion or analysis there and update the article as the night goes on. And then of course we'll have instant live coverage of anything the Clippers do, if there's a trade, if they buy a pick, if they make a pick, all that stuff. So let's start by looking at the potential big things that the Clippers could do, because we know that they are in talks to make a big move, although any big complex move, it's always more likely that it doesn't happen than it does. But we know that the Clippers have talked to Phoenix about Tyson Chandler and the fourth pick for DeAndre Jordan, but Phoenix said no. Maybe if the Clippers have some other deal where they find another asset, Phoenix would be more interested in revisiting that. We also know the Clippers have talked to the Detroit Pistons about Andre Drummond. We don't know what exactly the talks were there. It's possible that they asked for Drummond and 12. We don't know if there was mutual interest or if one or other team said no. And we know the Clippers have talked to DeAndre Jordan about other teams, although we don't know in this case every single team that they've talked to, every single offer that has been on the table. The only other guy I could potentially see the Clippers moving for a draft pick would be Jamal Crawford, because he has a somewhat team-friendly contract. Jamal makes $14 million this year, and he only has $3 million guaranteed of his salary next season. So potentially a team could give the Clippers a long-term deal, pay Jamal this year, cut him next season, save money in the summer of 2018 and beyond, and in exchange for giving the Clippers a long-term deal, give the Clippers a draft pick. That's the kind of deal I did in the Locked On Network mock draft by moving Jamal Crawford for Luol Deng and one of the Lakers' picks. That deal could also potentially go down with Toronto, who could be looking to move Damari Carroll or Jonas Valanciunas. It could go down with Portland, who's looking to move guys like Allen Crabbe and Evan Turner. And Portland might be the most interesting one because Portland has three picks, 15, 20, and 26. So if you take back a real stinker like Evan Turner's contract, you might be able to get two picks out of Portland. Right now, based on the last few days, I'm not sure that the Clippers are interested in taking back long-term salary unless it's someone like Jimmy Butler or Paul George. I'm not sure that they want to impair themselves by taking back that huge Luol Deng deal because there's some uncertainty right now regarding Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. And ultimately, I think that comes down to how they feel in the room because we don't know from the outside if the Clippers are certain that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are coming back and it's just going to be a formality and they're already assuming it's happening, or if the Clippers are genuinely scared and thinking up contingencies about what to do if they lose them. If it's the former, you can make deals that impair your cap space because you're going to be over the cap anyway with Chris and Blake signed to new five-year deals. If you think that there's a legitimate chance that you won't have Chris Paul and Blake Griffin back, cap space all of a sudden becomes very important the next few summers. So then it might not be worth it to add a late pick and take on one of those hideous contracts from Portland or the Lakers. Other than those Jordan trades to get early into the draft, or a Jamal Crawford trade to take back a bad contract for a mid to late first round pick, I have a hard time seeing the Clippers move anyone. It's just they don't have much on their roster that has a lot of trade value. Now, if the Clippers do make some big trade, it wouldn't shock me to see other guys included, Austin Rivers, Wesley Johnson, Bryce Johnson, to make salaries match, to make the value work, to throw in a sweetener for another team. But when you just look at the Clippers roster, their main guys, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, JJ Redick, can't be traded right now because they're free agents. Austin Rivers, I think, is more valuable to the Clippers than to other teams. And I don't think he has a lot of trade value, so you're probably not getting a very good pick for him. It's not a worthwhile deal for the Clippers. Jamal Crawford, you can afford to lose, so that's why I think that that is more possible. And DeAndre Jordan has a lot of trade value, so you could potentially get a good pick for him. Wesley Johnson, no trade value. Paul Pierce, technically his contract can still be moved for salary matching purposes, but it's not like any team is going to want Paul Pierce. And then it's just Bryce Johnson and Diamond Stone, who again are, you know, they're both fine prospects, but you're not going to get, it's not like someone is, yes, I'm willing to trade my first round pick for Bryce Johnson, who missed the whole season last year with that back injury. So really, I think any big trade the Clippers make is going to revolve around either DeAndre Jordan or Jamal Crawford, or potentially both. You know, I've dreamed up some really convoluted three-team, four-team ideas to land the Clippers both a replacement center and an asset to package for Paul George. And so if that's the case, we could see a lot of these guys, the six guys who are left on the roster, we could potentially see four, five, six of them moved in some huge deal. But again, that would be the type of thing you would do if you felt fairly safe that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin were returning and you're just moving the pieces around the edges. Now, the other thing that is far more likely, because like I said, any big blockbuster complex deal is always more likely to not happen than happen, because a lot of people have to say yes for there to be a trade, and only one person has to say no for there to not be a trade. Now, what's a lot easier, what I think is probable to happen, but not guaranteed, is that the Clippers could buy into the second round to pick a player that they like, which is something that we saw them do with Brandon Dawson a couple years ago. Now, Brandon Dawson didn't pan out, and the Clippers ended up cutting him after he had a season where they weren't really pleased with his development. But essentially, it's a freebie. You know, I don't like when people criticize Doc Rivers over Brandon Dawson. I don't mind criticism of Doc Rivers in general, but specifically when people say, and then with Brandon Dawson, he never played him and he just cut him after 1 year. Well, it was pick number 56. I have to check, but I'm pretty sure I looked before and everyone who went after Brandon Dawson, 57, 58, 59, 60, none of them ever appeared in an NBA jersey. You know, players in that range of the draft just have a very, very low success rate. I mean, obviously you get guys like Manu Ginobili and Isaiah Thomas, but the fact that there are a couple guys in the last 15, 20 years that you can think of in that range, when it shows you how rare it really is. But at the same time, when you're buying it with cash, that draft pick, there's no downside. There's no risk. There's only reward. So we talk about moves as low risk, low reward, like signing a minimum salary veteran. There's low risk because it's basically only costing you a roster spot, but there's low reward because, you know, a guy like Allen Anderson is going to be Allen Anderson. A guy like Brandon Bass is going to be Brandon Bass. So you're not getting a lot of upside there. High risk, high reward would be like going after some unknown guy who could potentially play himself off the roster within the first few weeks of the season, and you just wasted money, and now more veterans have been signed, and you can't replace him as easily. But there's high reward because he's unknown. He could be something special. Trading cash for a draft pick late in the second round is a no-risk, low-reward type of thing. So it's not like you're going to get a star, most likely. And the odds of getting someone who's even going to make your team are very slim. But the downside is zero. The cash resets. You're allowed to trade a certain amount of money every season. Under the old CBA, it was like $3.5 million. Under the new CBA, which takes effect July 1st, it's going to be $5 million. But so the Clippers' $3.5 million that they have to trade expires June 30th. So there's literally no cost to them outside of Steve Ballmer's pocket to buy into the draft. There's no basketball cost. It's basically generating a free asset. So it's hard to criticize them, whoever they decide to pick, because they're creating a free chance at a player. Now, in a Brad Turner article for the LA Times, Doc Rivers told reporters that there are a few guys, five or six guys, I think, that they're really watching and that they're going to try to target if they drop. So basically the way it works is the Clippers have called all of these teams from 35 to 60. They know where these teams stand and with terms of, no, we're not trading, we're not selling this pick, or we might be interested depending on how the draft goes. So let's say the Clippers are targeting Derek White from Colorado. Now, he could go in the late first round. He could go in the early second. But let's say the Clippers have talked to the team that has the 37th pick. And that team said, we might be interested, you know, we're not sure if we're going to keep the pick or not. Okay, well, the Clippers know they like Derek White. They watch. If Derek White falls to 37, they call that team up and they say, you know, we'll buy it. Are you selling? And if the team is in love with any prospect, they'd be willing to sell the pick. The Clippers, who really like that guy, are willing to buy in for it. Now, if Derek White goes before that, before the Clippers have a chance to buy, they bump down to their number two target, number three target, number four target, and eventually they get to a point where if they had six guys who they were willing to buy a pick for and all six get taken before the Clippers have an opportunity to buy a pick, there's no point in buying a pick for a prospect you don't believe in. But what I think we could potentially see is the Clippers, even if they lose out on the guys they really like, buying one of the last few picks in the draft, like in the late 50s, just to get the rights to a player. Because once a player goes undrafted, 60 players get selected, whoever number 61 would have been, 62, 63, etc., they all become undrafted free agents, and they can sign with any team that they like. And in today's NBA, with the new two-way contracts and with a lot of teams having D-League teams, those guys get gobbled up very quickly. And so it's advantageous for a team like the Clippers trying to fill out their D-League team, trying to fill out even a summer league team, and trying to use these two-way contracts. It's very advantageous for them to buy into the draft, even at pick 58, even for a guy who they aren't in love with, just so that they can secure his rights. Because if that guy goes undrafted, the Clippers could be one of 12 teams calling trying to sign him. But if the Clippers get him at 58, he can't sign with anyone but them. This is kind of what they did with David Michener last year, where, you know, not to defend the Michener pick, but just to explain the reasoning of why they picked him. Everyone says, well, he wasn't projected to be drafted. Why couldn't they have just signed him in free agency? Well, he would have no reason to sign with the Clippers. In fact, that right now the Clippers own his draft rights without having to pay him. The Clippers don't pay him. He's not on contract for the Clippers. They just own his draft rights. So if he becomes something good in France, he can only come sign with the Clippers now. Whereas if the Clippers had let him go undrafted, they would have either had to pay him and sign him to a contract immediately, which they didn't want to do, or let him continue being a free agent, and then let's say he goes and in 3 years becomes some very good point guard in the French league. Now the Clippers are competing in the open market to sign him instead of having his exclusive rights. So that's the kind of reasoning that could again apply to someone in the late second round this year. You know, the Clippers had a guy like Nigel Williams-Gose from Gonzaga in the gym. Potentially they could like him. He might go in the last couple picks. He might go undrafted. If a guy like Nigel Williams-Gose goes undrafted, multiple teams will be interested. But if you can snag him at 58, then he can only sign with your team. So I'm going to give you guys a few names that I really like in the late second round just to wrap up this episode. Now, obviously, I am not some super advanced scout. I haven't even looked at the draft much this year at all. I looked a lot more closely last season when the Clippers had several picks. But these are just a few names that I like. I really like Derek White, who is like this big, skilled combo guard from Colorado. I like Frank Jackson, who's a hyper-athletic young player from Duke, who I feel like might be better than his draft position because he was playing with Grayson Allen and Luke Kennard, who are both big-time, you know, college superstars almost. And I feel like Frank Jackson might have a little more than he showed at Duke because he was stuck next to those two guys playing a lot of the minutes, taking a lot of the shots. Jordan Bell from Oregon, super athletic, could project as like a Draymond Green kind of 4-5. He's different than Draymond, of course, but he has the potential to play the power forward position, but then in small ball lineups, slide over to center and protect the rim. And then Devin Robinson from Florida, he's like a really long, athletic combo forward. I don't know if he quite has the foot speed to play small forward in the NBA right now, but he has the shot, he's athletic, so I think he projects kind of as a 3-4 type player. Maybe as like a Wesley Johnson, which doesn't sound great until you consider that at pick, you know, if you're drafting at pick 46, which is where he's projected in the latest Chad Ford mock, and I think he's actually lower on Draft Express, getting a guy like Wesley Johnson who has a rotation career, as you know, a long career as a rotation player, is good, very good at that range in the draft. And then, you know, Josh Hart is a very popular name in the second round. I actually wouldn't be surprised to see him end up going in the first round just because his name has been talked about so much. But those are some guys that I like. It's not like I'm going to go insane if the Clippers don't pick one of my guys, and it's not like I'm going to say that it's automatically the best thing in the world if they pick someone that I like, because like I said, I haven't done a ton of scouting on these guys, but those are some names to watch for, at least, especially Derek White, I really like. But that's going to do it for our draft preview episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Once again, make sure you check out the ClipStation blog. We're going to have live coverage all night, keeping you up to date on what's going on with the Clippers, if they make a trade, if they buy a pick, who they select, all that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter at Lucas J. Hand for draft updates. I'll be live at the Clippers practice facility covering the event. Follow at ClipsNationSBN for instant draft analysis. And be sure to check out the Locked On Clippers podcast tomorrow, where we'll have kind of a post-draft show talking about what the Clippers did, if they did anything, or potentially some rumors that we heard about the Clippers that didn't come to fruition. Or maybe we'll talk about the Clippers did nothing and we didn't hear anything and now it's time to just get ready for free agency. But as always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, hit me up on Twitter at Lucas J. Hand. Email me lhand.clipsnation@gmail.com. And that's it. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.